Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swine herds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon the whole town came out together to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel we have this dramatic confrontation. Jesus had been with the apostles in the boat crossing to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the side from Capernaum, for example, the side on which Nazareth and the Mediterranean would have been, on the western side of the Sea of Galilee over to the eastern side, which was a place where the pagans lived. That's where the Decapolis was, the 10 pagan cities. Jesus, in a sense, was taking the apostles on a missionary journey, going straight into the heart of where God wasn't yet fully present. To symbolize this whole occurrence, he gets to the territory of the Gerasenes, which is about 3.5 miles off the eastern coast of the sea. Two demoniacs, those who were possessed by Satan, were coming out from the tombs, and they met Jesus. They were almost a delegation of the devil. They were so savage, no one could travel by that road. That was the common way. They were on the roads outside, but as soon as anybody would come, they would literally come and frighten, scare the hell out of people who were on those roads. They could recognize by that infernal power who was coming, and so the demons spoke out from the men. "What have you to do with us, Son of God? If you come here to torment us before the appointed time." They knew that there was a time when God would come, but they didn't think it was quite then. And they were being tormented by the very presence of the Lord Jesus, something that we can ponder. But then they made a request. It's an interesting one. "If you're driving us out, if you're going to exorcise us, send us into that herd of swine." They wanted somehow to live somewhere. And what was happening with these human beings was somehow symbolized by the way the Jews had looked at the swine. Because of the Mosaic law, swine was considered an unclean animal. The Jews could have nothing to do with swine. So it was a symbol of those who had been driven out. But remember, we're dealing with the pagans here. So Jesus assented. The demons came out, entered that herd of swine. St. Mark tells us it was 200 or 300, and they rushed down that pattern of 3.5 miles in order to drown themselves in the Sea of Galilee. And after, when the swineherds told everybody in the town, rather than being happy that the demoniacs were free of the devil, they came on out and they asked Jesus to leave their territory. The demoniacs had called him the Holy One of God, but they didn't really want God. They wanted God away. They wanted to go on as business as usual. They were going to eat those pigs, and they considered that far more important than God, because they were literally living by the flesh. It was a sign that the two who had been exorcised were not the only two who were under the sway of the devil. What does this have to do with anything we're talking about today with regard to Sister Magdalene's former pastor? Blessed Junipero Serra. It's everything to do with it. Today there's a big controversy because of what Blessed Junipero did. He walked 5,000 miles spreading our faith. He had come all the way over from a teaching career in Mallorca, leaving in his mid-30s to take on a very difficult assignment. As soon as he had arrived in Mexico, he walked 250 miles to Mexico City. That was just the beginning of his journeys. 5,000 miles up the west coast of this continent he went, founding 9 of the 21 missions that the Spanish wanted to create there for the sake of security, teaching, and the formation of initial civilization. But today, a lot of basically American Indians are trying to say that Junipero Serra was a terrible man. Junipero Serra came, and because of the work of the Spanish and the success of the Franciscans and the Jesuits, pagan Indian worship was basically extirpated. It was gone by the power of the gospel. And now people are trying to get him kicked out of Sacramento, the statue of him there, kicked out of Washington, D.C. Various people are protesting his upcoming canonization, because what they're really doing is they're protesting the fact that he was a missionary, the Holy One of God, who had come to bring them from darkness into light. Bring them not necessarily from diabolical manifestation, but bring them from a place where they only had certain seeds of the gospel in a huge admixture with a lot of things that were not compatible to the fullness of the greatness of the truth. Now, some of the Spanish in these missions were strong. They were disciplined. A lot of the times the Indians were treated like a bunch of children in there. There were things that could clearly be improved upon. But the main thing Blessed Junipero was doing was bringing the fullness of the gospel. And as we see today, sometimes people don't want the Holy One of God around. And in a culture in which Christianity is not appreciated, we can see why certain people would say that Junipero Serra was not bringing a good, a real benefit, but something that would be a burden, a straitjacket, something that would eliminate these original American Indian ideas for some reason of which people today have a romanticism. When Pope Francis, 2 months ago tomorrow, went to the North American College, he spoke on Blessed Junipero Serra to the future priests in the United States studying there. And what he said, we can all learn from Blessed Junipero are three things. First, how to be a missionary. How to be willing to travel, to walk, to exert, to go to foreign lands, to go to places where the Lord isn't, in order to bring the great gift of the Lord. Saint Junipero, soon to be Saint Junipero, was someone who was exemplary here. Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles is constantly describing Blessed Junipero as one of the founding fathers of the United States. He was one who brought civilization here because he brought Christianity, and that we need to appreciate him for what he did. Archbishop Gomez is constantly saying, we've got an East Coast-centric American historiography. We talk about Philadelphia, we talk about Boston, we talk about Washington, but we don't talk about the fact that centuries before, the Franciscan missionaries were already working in Florida, in Texas, and in California, antedating our founding fathers. And at the same time that over on this coast the Revolutionary War was being fought, on the West Coast, Blessed Junipero was inseminating the gospel in the seed of the soil of California. To learn from him first that great hunger to go across seas, to go across territories to bring the Lord. We might not have to walk 5,000 miles spreading the gospel. We might have to walk 500 yards each day, but to do it with that similar zeal. Second thing Pope Francis says we can learn from Blessed Junipero is about his Marian devotion, that he learned this great hunger from sharing in the love of the Mother of the Lord, whom Christ from the cross made our Mother, the one who went with haste in order to bring her son to John the Baptist and to Elizabeth and Zechariah, was the one who spurred him on to bring that same Jesus to people whose lives were being lived without him. That the more Marian we become, the more apostolic we become. And then the third thing Pope Francis taught us about Blessed Nipero is he is a witness of what it really means to be holy. In the annals of the time, the various letters that were being written, there was a special law for Nipero. He wasn't just a great organizer. He was a Franciscan priest around whom everybody had the sense that they were dealing with somebody who was profoundly holy, somebody who was willing to give all for the Lord. And Pope Francis listed him among many in our continent who were holy. And eventually, another pope in centuries is supposed to list our names along with soon to be Saint Junipero Serra. That's the reason why we're here. At the same time that there are many in our culture who are trying to drive Christ out, we see it in the whole scourge of abortion, where they're trying to drive Christ out in disguise to get rid of him. We see it in this first reading, in the jealousy of Sarah to try to get rid of any competition for her boy Isaac, but how the Lord himself responded there, that at that same expulsion, the Lord was going to bless Hagar. Essentially, that was for liberation. She was now free. She was no longer going to be a slave girl. She was going to be the mom of someone from whom the Lord would likewise make a great nation in Ishmael. That the Lord seeks to bring good even out of our evil, but we have to know that there are people who are trying to drive out the Lord. Because of that, they may drive us out. Didn't scare Blessed Junipero. Certainly didn't scare the Lord Jesus. It shouldn't scare us. Today, as we come forward to this altar, we say, what have you to do with us, Son of God? Jesus says, I am here precisely in order to unite you with myself, so that after, he's not going to send us into swine, but he's going to send us into this city to bring a little spark of that holiness here, just like Junipero did, a 5,000 mile stretch up and down of the west coast of our country. Blessed Junipero Serra. Pray for us.